All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. I am back from being in the jungle with the one and only Tim of the Jungle, Tim Alberino. This is the second podcast I've done since coming back home. Still kind of out of it, still kind of tired and jet lagged. But we're getting ready for this newest active shooter course going on in the south of the DFW area. It's November 10th, 11th, and 12th. We still got time to include anyone else on the roster if they're interested. If not, it's cool, man. We got another one coming in December 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Got at least four or five people signed up for that one. That class is $1,000. It includes food. And the reason why is because we want you on the training ground for as much time as possible. We're noticing a trend of having problems with people having to, you know, break for lunch, break for dinner, and we're just losing time in training. So we're going to cook for you. That one that's coming up in December is going to be a very, very particular, very important bit of training. I haven't updated on the website. I'm still writing up the warning order, I guess you could say, the scope of training for that, and it'll be on readymaderesources.com, hopefully by the end of today, if not by tomorrow. We're going to base a lot of things on patrol-based tactics. SEER is not going to be involved in this class. The advanced medical training is not going to be involved in this class. We will go over medical training still, but not to the extent that our good friend Doc Steve Reyes was teaching. So we're going to be mainly focusing on patrolling tactics. I'm actually going to, when everyone shows up, we are going to rough it. Let's just say that. An introduction to everyone who's going to be at this training class here in November is throughout the entire time, we're going to have our weapons on us. We're going to go back to the way the military had made me do it, and you're going to get used to being in your gear. You're going to get used to carrying your weapons. Not loaded, no weapons, no magazine inserted in weapons, but you just to get used to the weight so that you can feel how the weight of a gun, the weight of your gear, your plate carrier, whatever it is that you decided that you're wearing for the apocalypse, you're going to get to see how it wears on you, how it drains the life out of you slowly, and why you need to be moving, why you need to be ensuring that each other are awake, stimulated by conversation, by moving around, even playing games like cards or throwing rocks at trees, like what we did in the Marine Corps. Everything and anything to keep you awake. One of the things that's going to kill many people here in the coming future are going to be people who are falling asleep when they should be awake, either protecting people or, if they're off on their own, you can only do so much. Mental toughness. That's going to be a very big thing in what is probably going to be the eventual future here in America. Look, I'm not a seer of the future. I have no horoscopes, no crystal balls. I'm not predicting that the end is coming. I'm just telling you that history proves, and our current relevant history is showing us very much, that we are in for at least a cycle of violence here in America. As an empire, we are quickly coming up upon our last bit of rope for what used to be our form of government, what used to be the respect of law, and what used to be the mighty dollar, what used to be the mighty military, what used to be the great American. We've quickly surpassed those great feats, and we're now in declination. We're diving downward. the depravity is taking over in many places of our world. And the politics prove it. A few quotes about politics. I love quotes. I love old quotes. George Patton, he had said that politicians are the lowest form of life on earth, and that liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. To go below that liberal Democrat is going to be the man who heard "Get Prepared" and who said, "I got plenty of time." The man who gaffed off the warning after warning from everyone that was out there. The man that refused to believe in the prophecies of Scripture. The man who was caught unawares, off guard, who saw trouble coming from afar and said, "Nah, they'll probably pass me by." History comes for men like that, and women, and their families, and the innocents, and the elderly. And you will find that in history, very few times, has there ever been a parlay in the violence for the innocents to flee to cover when an approaching army is coming to conquer a land. Very few times. You know, in terms of politicians, I think most people should know by now, I'm not exactly a fan of our politicians, though I am a fan of politics. I actually do like politics, more based off of the way that it was approached during the height of the Empire of Rome with the Roman Senate, who based many things off of the Greek-Athenian form of governance, which is what our founding fathers based our form of governments off of. The Athenian Greek style, along with the Roman senatorial style. And now here we have it. And it's all crumbling, just like it did. It's all crumbling. Not because the laws, once again, it's not the system so much as it is the people. I don't hate politics. I hate politicians. Maybe hate's a too strong of a word. But you take out of my realm of strongly disliking you when you willfully put American lives in danger, like the coming violence, the coming invasion of America, which is already happening on the southern and northern border, the deterioration of our rights. When the dollar deteriorates, man, you're going to have a lot of problems. Speaking of the Athenians, there was an Athenian philosopher. He was a Greek general, an Athenian Greek general, and he was also a politician. His name was Pericles. And Pericles said that, and maybe you've heard this quote before, just because you don't take an interest in politics doesn't mean that politics won't take an interest in you. Look at what's going on right now in this country. Tell me that politics are not driving the violence. Look at what's going on right now in Israel, facing down Gaza. There's not politics in play. Sure, prophecy is in play, but man's politics are always in play as well. So in forms of politics, tell me, who do you decide? Who do you decide to follow? The Democrats, the liberals on the left, have chosen a form of violence that is barbarous, who've chosen a mindset that is more close to a willful need for self-destruction and insanity than those on the right, and I'm speaking loosely on our politicians here, on the right who seem to just ignore the unrighteous laws that have been wrote, who seem to ignore the violence on the streets. Talking about it, by the way, is still ignoring it, because what you're doing is you're appeasing people by talking about it, and you're ignoring it by doing nothing about it. And don't tell me that there's nothing we can do. There's always something we can do. You can tighten the tie around your neck, stand up a little taller, speak a little bit meaner. Maybe try that. And at that rate, if what we're doing on the Republican Conservative Party side is not working, then we need another form. I do believe there's two other parties that are growing in America that are not being talked about very much. One is you have a communist, socialist, highly Satanized, left-wing extremism movement, like the ladies that are in, that are on the left, the horsemen, the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars. That is the new beginnings of the Democrats, of the liberals. That is a delineation, a splitting off and division within their group. One side says they're not extreme enough. And the other side of the Democrats will say, well, we only want to be extreme enough to get what we need. And the other side says, no, we need to be extreme enough to destroy everything so that we can rebuild. Lo and behold, they have no idea how to rebuild. They have no idea what they want. So they'll probably just say, China, come in and build it for us. Then you have the other side. With the Rhino Republicans being, I'm at this rate comfortable with saying 95% of all Republicans are rhinos in a fashion or another. And only 5% of those being constitutional conservatives who actually care about this country. There'll be a delineation there. There'll be a division there. And who knows? I mean, that'll be the side that everyone tries to cave down upon, because they actually want American values. They want to keep America on the righteous side of the Lord and not the vengeful side of the Lord. So you can see that the other two parties from the Democrats and then the Rhinos are all going to come down on these guys. And they call themselves the America First Party. It's funny, that's the most hated group, right? The American First Republicans. This is all just part of the schemes and plans of apparently what must happen with our next civil war. We can no longer meet peaceably. We can no longer figure out how to work together. Everybody is about himself and their careers and their special interest groups. And then there's a few who say, well, the left and the right can work together for the good of the American people. Except I will tell you that there is no longer the good for the American people. It's good for their bank accounts. That's what it appears to look like from my point of view. But I just sit back and I observe. I don't have to talk about much. I sit back and I observe. Not everything needs a reaction, but I read the room. I pay attention to what people say. I pay very close attention to their interest. And the need for war is what's arising. I don't know if you've heard this, but today I was listening to Glenn Beck on the Blaze TV, and he was discussing how the Biden White House is now opting or pushing for the SEC to have complete and utter control of the internet. Complete and utter control of who can do broadcasts, of who can set up certain stuff on the internet. I mean, everything from a total spectrum of dominance, the totality of all circumstances of the internet. They want full control of it. Never has this ever happened. 40, 50 years now we've had the internet. Never have this ever happened. So why the need now during the Biden administration? That didn't happen under Trump. But yet other things did that I strongly oppose and dislike. But Biden is pushing us into war with Russia, Iran, on the Gaza Strip, against China, and here on the homeland. Some of the other problems with the way this is going right now, it should be pretty clear to many of you, if it's not, is that with our kind of government and the people who are in our kind of government, there's a quote from Frank Herbert, who wrote the book Dune. He said that all governments suffer a recurring problem. Power attracts pathological personalities. It has not that power corrupts, but that it is magnetic to the corruptible. Power does not within itself corrupt, but the corrupted are drawn to it like a moth to the flame. They see the ability to seize control, and they're willing to do it no matter who they have to step on, stand on, kill to do it. And we do have very corruptible, very corrupted people that are in our political atmosphere that have become nothing more than a scourge upon the American people. And people want answers. People are pissed off. People are upset and they're mad about it. People are seeking many different avenues of how to alleviate the problems of the corrupted politician and the gross negligence, therefore, that comes from them. They want to ban free speech. They want to control, not just ban, they want to control. And from there, they want to be able to fine you for your speech. We can see with Owen Schroyer from the InfoWars just how far right now they're willing to go. Imprisonment for up to 6 months because of his free speech. Yet, it wasn't but just a few years ago, before 2020, when the left was clearly out there saying, harass them, circle them. If you see them at a grocery store, find them, chase them down. Don't leave them alone. Let them know that they don't belong here, that you don't want them here anymore. That's called encouraging violence. And the FBI understands that. Yet they do nothing to move on it. We sit back and we watch Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, all these same players, even Mitt Romney and a few others on the political rhino side of the Republicans, who will say some of the most gross negligent things as a appointed leader of the people of America. And yet, who recalls them? Even when there is a recall or an attempt to recall, nothing ever happens from it. Where is the justice for what those people said as Trump was becoming president and had become president? See, the problem with turning the other cheek and leniency in this type of Coliseum is that the moment you turn your back on these people, they already planned to stab you in the front. And now you just show them your backside, of which they will take full advantage and stab you anyways, because which many people fail to understand is that there can be no other option of control. There can be no sibling in that society. It is domination of the communist, of the leftist, of the extremist, of the socialist side, and there is no room for anyone else. All these other politicians are doing is they are biding their time until they have enough money and have generated enough income, special interests, that they can comfortably walk away and they never have to do any of this again except arrange a few meetings. That's called lobbyists, right? Being a lobbyist. They just arrange a few meetings and they get paid their millions. See, evil will preach tolerance. Evil will preach tolerance until it dominates everything. And then it looks down upon you and says, oh, you are not tolerant of my sexuality. You're not tolerant of my religious, rights. You're not tolerant of my space. You're not tolerant of my own humanity. In fact, you come from men who were intolerant. In fact, we will dig up the history on you and we will show that you and your ancestors were suppressors, oppressors. You were intolerant. And because of that, your mindset now is considered to be null and void because it is medieval. You believe in a unification of a marriage between just a man and a woman. You believe that the laws wrote on the books 200 years ago on parchment still are in play today and that there's no adaptation for those laws. These people, what they really mean is your current system does not fit what my mindset is and what I want to do because I live within the realms of the chaos. It's nothing but maleficarum. It is nothing but evilness. And so I will spring forth myself and my progeny into a height of power so that eventually we can take over, we can creep in like cancer. And from there, we can find the light, that light source that keeps America bright, and we can strangle it. That's their intent. That's why George Soros does not care about national elections. He doesn't care about state elections. There's not enough revenue in that, but there's plenty there. When you control the local DA and the local judge, and they're the ones who can let the bad guys on and off the hook as needed, who can then corrupt and manipulate others within the police force, fire department, the doctors, the construction CEO owners of construction companies, all these things that are needed for their infrastructure to be created, and then for the influence of that infrastructure to be spread throughout their local area to win a battle at a time, not a war at a time, because wars are not fought on one open battlefield. Battles, singular battles. If you continue to win singular battles, eventually the whole scape of the battlefield during your process of this war will quickly become yours because you bought off the kings and queens that you're going to go fight against. So they're going to ensure that your troops win, one way or the other. Doesn't even have to be a big fight, just to surrender. And once you destroyed the will of the people before our force even gets there, before the conquering invading force gets there, then there really is no resistance. And those who will resist are just but a few. And everyone else is so scared that they'll actually turn against their own countrymen, fighting for the good cause. And thus, the war is complete. You really don't even have to fire a shot. You have driven people into a state of hysterical madness that they think up is down and down is up, good is evil, evil is good, man is woman, woman is man. A child can be any gender they want. A man in his 50s can pretend to be a child. People can marry animals. People can marry inanimate objects. These things are happening. To the most advanced society on earth, the most secular society on earth, these things are still happening. So evil preaches tolerance until it is dominant. Then it tries to silence any form of good. Because just as evil is nothing more than, let's say, the ice that's coming every winter that strangles off the life-saving sustenance of the water that you go to drink from, the little bit of sunlight, just a little bit of sunlight, immediately weakens the entire body of the ice and quickly starts to erode away, melt away its strength. Its strength. The strength within the ice, the strength within the communists, is the unification of their singular vote, the unification of their singular mindset, no matter what. Just as ice does not care what it comes across. If it can be there, then it can freeze. And it can kill. However, it cannot withstand the light. It cannot withstand the truth. The truth being Jesus Christ. The truth being the righteous man who had to be forced to draw his sword. God is on that man's side. I think we're quickly coming to a time when many of us who have been on the sidelines with our thoughts, with our opinions, with our actions, many of us who said, you know, I'll just sit back and I'll just wait and I'll see what's going on. I won't react. Not everything deserves a reaction. More observation. Eventually, those people will be forced to act. The problem is when they're forced to act, what is the event that drags them into it? Is it anger? Is it a need for vengeance, the need to be avenged? You have to be very careful here because anger is very deceiving. Vengeance is very deceiving. The need to be avenged can be very deceiving to people. Because within that act, most people are controlled by irrational responses based off of emotional needs and not rational thinking. So when you're angry in these points and times, just be silent. And observe and monitor and remember everything that you're seeing and let the storm pass. Unless there is reason to let the thunderbolt fall. Situation dictates. You may have time. You may not have time. You may have time to have a pre-ordered plan to prepare, to stock up, to make alliances. You may have time as the subject or assailant is walking towards you to come up with a game plan. Okay, depending on their gait, what they're wearing, they have weapons, their intent, I'm going to think of what I should be doing. Sometimes you are not afforded that luxury. Sometimes the threat is just there in your face and you have to react. Before any of this happens, one of the things that men need to focus on, women, you can benefit from this too. Before the need arises for these motivations of, let's say, needing to avenge the American people for whatever reason, because I'm sure if I said anything else differing to the opinions of this current administration, they would gladly lock me away as well. So I'll say it like this. Before the bad times really start, and yeah, we're in bad times now, but we're not in Civil War, World War III context just yet. I do believe it's coming. I've said this before, it's 2023 right now. By the end of 2024, if we're not in a civil war, I'm going to be thoroughly shocked. And I hope I am extraordinarily wrong. I do not want it. I do not wish it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you war stories about why I don't want it. I would just say, trust me, nobody wants to see that. If you're a veteran or if you're in law enforcement, you listen to this type of broadcast, podcast, and you want to put your opinions down into the comments section, by all means. We probably all understand where I'm coming from. But before all this happens, what we really need to do is we need to examine ourselves, our current state. We need to consider our options. We understand and we can see through everyday politics in the news or manipulation of the news what the eventuality of America is. We're coming up on a food crisis, a banking crisis, a war crisis. We have an authoritative regime that's in charge of America, and we have oligarchs who used to be called politicians. So this is a current state of mind, a frame of mind that I would say we are losing the stronger part of our country. And I don't know what comes after that, if anything does. So let's examine ourselves. For many of us, that's going to be very hard. Marcus Aurelius, he said, waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Just be one. I would say the same thing about being a Christian. Waste no more time arguing about what a Christian should be. And just be what Christ intended for you to be. One of the problems with our theocracy currently is that we listen to so many different men's opinions, we tend to forget Jesus's words. Be a good man. What is being a good man? Is being a good man someone who would just walk around and agree with everything that you say? No. Is being a good man the guy who pulls the you know, chair out for the lady as she goes to sit down and then sits her down in the chair, holds the door for the women, children, and the elderly? No, those are just called manners. I think when we define what a good man is, we have to define that also based off the times that we're living in. I like Jordan Peterson's reference of what a good man is, what a bad man is. Being a good man is understanding violence, being able to apply violence, not shrugging from the application of that violence when it arises. But also having that violence under complete control. Not being a lunatic. Not being someone who says that for me, in order to have a good life, I must be a tyrant to my neighbors. If we focus on being good men, getting in shape, being highly trained, does not mean you have to go into law enforcement, security, doesn't mean you have to go into the military to be highly trained, gentlemen. You can seek out training and you can be just as agile and useful as any of the rest of us. In some cases, better than many of us. It really depends on how much you apply yourself. If you're just as good with your gun as you are in a chess match, you're a very dangerous person, meaning that you can think multiple steps ahead. You can see the plans before they're employed. You know and you understand the small battlefield, that area of operations that you're working in. You could process things a little bit faster. We need more of those men, and we need less men who are worried about what gender their child feels like they're going to be or what they feel they are. We need more men standing up for their women, for their children, for their God, for themselves. And if need be, men who are willing to step away from the hustle and bustle of the corporate lifestyle and are willing to rough it a little bit, to go back to the seeking of dangerous freedoms, as Thomas Jefferson once stated. You know, I remember growing up, everything was about the retirement, the benefits, the rank. Everything was about getting the one up on the guy across from you, becoming the boss first, who had the most achievements, the most medals. I feel that once you hit a certain age, you become permanently unimpressed by a lot of things, by a lot of statements that I see in the comment section, by a lot of opinions that people will leave. I am permanently unimpressed with a few of you. I find it more impressive when a man can sit back and he can read his flaws and then actively goes to search out the way to fix them. That is impressive to me. I think it was Socrates who said that, you know, he who conquers his inner self. That's the hardest fight, to conquer what's in here and in here. To be a patient man, an observing man, a patient man, a faithful man. Not the peacock who walks around in the Titus Affliction shirts, in their skinny jeans, with the newest, latest, and greatest of whatever technology or hairstyle or beard style or clothing. You know those guys. Everything has to be about me. Look at me. I'm a pretty peacock. Few times have those guys ever been slammed in the face with someone's fist, but they will talk the talk. I've met many of them. Arrested many of them. I've met many of them. Many of them hate me. And that's fine. Oderint Deum Metuant. It's Latin for let them hate so long as they fear. You don't have to hate me. If you want to, you can. I really don't care. But if you ever approach me, it's better to have a healthy dose of fear than to not have fear. I care less about respect. The older I'm getting, the more I realize respect comes and goes every day. Especially when you work for the government and you realize that no matter what you do, it's never good enough for our kings and queens in the realm of the higher ranking political factions in the government. And they villainize you quite a bit. The American people villainize men of action, men of violence quite a bit. Even good men who see evil in front of them and decide now is the time to let the thunderbolt fall. You too will be villainized, though righteous your anger may be, though righteous your actions may be. But they fear you. They fear you because they fear what one singular good, righteous man can do. The greatest weapon a man like that has is the ability to influence others to be like him. Not the mobs, not the gangs, not the protesters, not the rioters, the righteous men, the righteous few men. Those are the most dangerous men in this country. And they're not just in the military. They're not just in law enforcement. They're not just in the intelligence field. And they're not just the few and the proud. They're everywhere. They're anywhere. And those men need to stand up and be heard a little bit louder. Loyalty. Loyalty to God. Loyalty to your family. Loyalty to yourself. Loyalty to this country, the Constitution. Many people will hate the fact that I just said that. That's fine. You hate because you're confused. You hate many things that this country has done because you see what the politicians have done. But the politicians got away with it because strong men decided to be comforted by things, by whiskey, by the sailboats, by the farms and the fields that they can go and hide on, like what I want, my little mountainside retreat, so that I can watch Rome burn from my porch steps, knowing completely that the horde burning down Rome will eventually be at my property line. When instead we could have all stood together and done something about it. This should have been done decades ago, gentlemen. And then every decade since. And I don't think anytime soon will anything else be done about it. So stay loyal to yourself, to your family, and to your God, and to your country, the actual country. The way of life is what I'm talking about. The laws are fluent. They change. A true sign of totalitarianism, a true sign of a crumbling empire, is the amount of laws that we have at this point, because there's very little freedoms left. But loyalty is its own reward. Hard work is its own reward. Few people want to work hard anymore. You'll work hard as hell to run away from the mob. I'm watching these other countries deteriorate. And I sit back and I wonder, could America handle the deterioration of its economy the same way the Venezuelans did? Could we as a people handle how their government approached it by using very dramatic, very violent police tactics? and using the military against the people. I remember one time watching these people protest out in the streets, and they were trying to stop, I believe it was a police convoy of MRAPs, armored vehicles. And they just drove right through them, drove right through them. See, the difference of most Americans is that we first think and start to process, if I run over these people right now, that's going to be on a million different phones and all over the internet. And I'm going to be viewed as a murderer instantly because of this current atmosphere of our politics. So you have hesitation and pause when the lack of concern for what people think and the lack of concern of who cares if I'm considered to be a murderer or not. I'm here to live and to get the heck out of Dodge. Once that mindset has superseded the current mindset of most men in America who are pacified, we will not look like Venezuela. The Venezuelans allowed their country to be destroyed by their politics. They allowed it. Do not tell me that the people of Venezuela could not have came together and defeated and overthrown, though eventually through enough bloodshed, they would have gotten to Maduro. Eventually. But they chose not to because of fear. And they hate him. Once again, that old Latin quote, "Uderent dem metuit." Let them hate so long as they fear. George Washington said that no man should scruple or hesitate a moment to use arms in defense of so valuable a blessing on which all the good and evil of life depends. That is clearly my opinion. If you can read the history books that the historians haven't burned yet, if you can recall history and teach it to the younglings, to the kids who are being taught the absolute opposite of history, of common sense, if they can learn, if they can bear witness to the past, maybe then the future can be secured. But look at our schools and tell me that you believe that. Right now, one of the things that I believe is missing in kids from kindergarten to graduates of master's degrees in college. You know, the point and lesson that I believe many of them are missing? They have forgotten what sacrifice is. Most of these kids coming out of college, they don't understand sacrifice. They don't understand that what they believe is sacrifice, staying up a little bit later to study for finals, to write your dissertations, that is not the sacrifice I am talking about. I'm talking about the men and women, the families who sacrificed it all, who risked it all to go on the Oregon Trail, who risked it all to head out into the western expansion of the Ohio Territory and carved out a life in the wilderness, knowing that no one is coming to help you. And whatever you have, if you break it, you better know how to fix it. Those people had skills. They had an idea of how structures were to be built in their head. They didn't have to have a blueprint. They didn't have to go to the internet. They didn't have to go on YouTube and watch a 10-minute video of how to build a house. They knew it because they had probably, most likely, already cut down trees, hewn timber, split them, stacked them, dragged them, nailed them together all by themselves. And the women were there to help. The men were there to help. The children were there to help. They weren't distracted by their phones. The kids were not given a tablet because it was about survivability. If we don't all pull together, we will not get this completed before winter. If we do not all pull together, we won't get the rampart built to help defend ourselves when the savages are coming. That's one thing that we've forgotten in this country. Who is the savage at this point? And who's willing to sacrifice what to meet the savage at the ready line? The savage once was the mighty Native American warriors. And then it turned out to be the mighty colonial warriors. And then we've kind of done this back and forth little dance. And now the savages are the ones that you see typically roaming the streets in your large cities, drunk, strung out on some sort of narcotics, and are most likely the ones in democratic cities that are on these subway cars, rampaging up and down, scaring people, frightening people, attacking people. I'll never forget the one guy in Philadelphia who raped a woman while at least 40 or 50 people watched. And from the vantage view of the cell phone, at least the first row were mostly men. They did nothing. Nothing. As that woman screamed and cried and pleaded. And such is America. As we sit back and we watch the Vahmer peck away everything. The vileness, that's an old Nordic word, Vahmer. The vileness of our age has become the savages that roam the streets. The despots, those that at this point in time, they no longer care about laws because George Soros ensured no one was going to enforce them. Politics have neutered the ability for law enforcement as a whole to be something worth being feared by criminals. So instead, those same politicians turn the actions of law enforcement and the benevolence that was there and turn them into a militaristic appointment, maybe is a word, a militaristic entity. And now sometimes you can't tell the difference between the military and law enforcement. And because the military was originally supposed to be focusing on our foes from outside of the continental United States, law enforcement was here to keep the peace and to serve the will of the people. Now that we've muddied those waters, they serve the will of the politicians. And thus, I can point back in history. You can do your research. You can look it up. How many different times it was the police who turned their backs on their original oath of protecting we the people and became the henchmen of the totalitarian elite, of the national socialist, of the communist, to include the military as well. And yet people will still be recruited at a young age and still join because they're influenced by their teachers, by their academics. They're pointed in that direction by their peers a year or two older than them that they are aspiring to be like. And then the politicians give good incentives as to why they should turn their back on the American people or on their people, let's say, and join their side. Are we repeating the history of the Roman Empire? Yes. Are we repeating many histories at one point in time? We currently in America are reflections of Nazi Germany, communist Mao China, the gulags from Stalin. We are repeating many things that they've done. And then we are expounding upon new futures that those tyrants never even supposed could happen. Total spectrum dominance of the internet, of which our entire life at this rate is literally based off of. And when they completely control the internet, and you still have to plug in and play every day to get your bank accounts, talk to people, view your entertainment, use communications from emails, or even that's actually the avenue of how you make a living with your job based off the internet. And then the complete monitoring of all those things. They monitor all of it. How much money did you spend? What did you spend your money on? Who did you spend your money on for? What were your plans for doing what you may be doing with all that money? Did you pay taxes, by the way, on it? Who said you could buy those things, think those things, talk about those things? Don't you know that we watch all those things? Don't you know that we watch you and that eventually we will own you? Because you will not be able to do anything, buy, sell, or trade unless you take our mark. That is the eventuality that I speak of. The culmination of all empires of the world point to the Antichrist authority, the infrastructure of the beast system. I don't know how far away we are, but man, we're speeding close to it. Very, very close to it. There's a bombshell report from Representative Jim Jordan. It's on InfoWars. Hundreds of secret reports show that DHS, CISA, I used to work for CISA, the GEC, State Department at Stanford, and others worked together to censor Americans before the 2020 election, including true information, jokes, and opinions. See, what they're really worried about is the majority of Americans who are just at the end of their rope of willing to put up with all of this crap. And they fear when the righteous man will draw his sword. That's what they fear. On that very fateful day, I hope God is with us. Someone is going to test the waters. Someone is going to attempt vengeance and desolation. I hope it doesn't backfire on them, because if you do anything against these people currently who are in charge, everything you do, everything you say will and can be used against you in a court of their law that they enforce, that they bought for. They bought for what? For dominance. To dominate us. So, as the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard. The Lord will raise a standard. The Lord himself will come in and will stop this. But many wars must happen. Many rumors of wars must happen. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. The earth will reel and rock like a drunkard. Many will be deceived, are deceived, have been deceived, and are being deceived. Isaiah 10, verses 1 through 4. Woe to those who make unjust laws to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning, when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised, as the hand of God still stretched out. I have to consider that many times with my own ramblings, that the Lord's hand is stretched out still. The philosopher and historian Plutarch, he said that the measure of a man is the way he bears up under misfortune. Many people currently are going to see what misfortune looks like in a way that they never imagined. And many will crumble underneath that weight. Character. We need men and women of good character. Plutarch said it. Character is a long-standing habit. Good character or bad character? Marcus Aurelius said that you need to focus on being a good man. All those other things, like a pebble thrown in a puddle of water, will have a ripple effect in your life. When you focus on being a good man, and when you focus on living the way Christ intended, to be a lion, but yet as gentle as a lamb, and knowing the difference when to apply each. We cannot all walk around as the executioner, and then all also walk around as Mother Teresa begging for people to be released. There's going to be seasons, there's going to be times that are going to be coming. For some men who've lost their way, who've lost their friends, because they took the journey of coming out of the world and becoming one with Christ, know this: I too left many brothers. I too left a life behind, and I found something much, much more internally pleasing: righteousness, a sense of purpose again. If you were a leader before you became a Christian, what's stopping you from being a leader now? Don't let people use this term, "Oh, you're just a baby Christian," and intimidate you into being quiet. If you have leadership capabilities, use them. Train people. And for many of you, when the smoke is all cleared and all these little fires that are starting all over the place, all these little battles, you got the fog of war, when all that clears, the battle subsides, the ringing in your ear starts to get a little bit lesser, look at your left and look to your right. Those standing next to you, those are your brothers now. And they will be there forever till the end of time. The real friends, not the come and goes. Look for those who will stand next to you in the shield wall, who will rightfully take your place and defend you when you cannot be there. Those are the people that will help guide your moral character, that will help you to become a better man. Those who are corrupting, you should cut off. Be done with them. Put them away. If they're not willing to advance into manhood, be done with them. That's all I got. See you next time. Stay frosty. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.